how we fight our bad. This is how we fight our bad. This is how we fight our bad. This is how we fight our bad.
keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Just the sum of every high and every low. Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
Glad to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. We've got several that are still sick. We've got some that's on the road traveling. We'll be praying for them. If you have a prayer request, let it be known by lifting your hand. God knows each and every need. Let's all stand, those that are able, those that have joined us on live feed. If you have a prayer request, text the keyword prayer to 205-642-8744. We want to partner together in prayer. Let's go to God in prayer this morning and ask God to touch and minister today. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you today again, thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for this great opportunity that you've allowed us to come into your house to worship and praise you. Father, you see those that are sick, those that are not feeling well, those that are not able to be here due to sickness. God, I'm praying that you'll bring encouragement to their lives, bring healing to their body. Father, I pray that you'll bring clearance and direction to those that has questions about the directions they would need to go and what they need to do. Father, I pray that you'll touch this service today. Everything from the praise and worship to your word being brought forth, Father, I pray you'd move and minister to the hearts and lives of those in-house and live feed alike. We forever give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Church, we've not come here to sing just to have something to do. We've not come here to sing just to have a warm-up or just to allow people to have time to come to their seats. But I'm going to tell you something, church. We need to sing and give praises to God because of what God has done. Amen? We need to give praises to God because God is God. God is good and God is worthy. Let's give God a hand clap of praise and let's worship this morning in song. Amen.
Amen. Let's worship Him this morning. Let's sing "This Is Amazing Grace."
Stronger, the King of Glory. done for me.
Hallelujah. Worship him this morning. I'm so thankful for everything Jesus has done for me. Thank you, Lord.
Have your way in me,
Lord, have your way in me.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, again, we thank you for the blessings that you've given us. We thank you for allowing us this opportunity to come into your house to worship and praise you. We thank you for allowing us this presence, to be in your presence today. God, we thank you for what you've done in our lives and what you're going to continue to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Would you give God a hand clap of praise as you're being seated this morning? God is good. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Again, we appreciate you being here with us today. Amen. Last Sunday, Easter Sunday, what an awesome opportunity, awesome presence of the Lord, awesome service we had, awesome service that we're having today. God is still on the throne. Amen. I want to address something, and thankfully, hallelujah, glory to God, We've not had to deal with this as some other churches have. I've had pastor friends of ours that have said they've had to deal with a lot of this. And they asked me how much have I dealt with this at Coosa Valley. And I was able to gladly grin ear to ear and say, none. It's been awesome. The Bible tells us that it is a wicked and perverse generation that seeks after a sign. Amen? That's what the Bible tells us. We also know that God shows his word. He confirms his word in signs and wonders. However, I'm not looking for a sign. I have faith in God and what his word says. And I don't have to have something else to lean on, but I'm glad that he confirms his word with signs and wonders. Amen? Here's an example of that. I know that Jesus is coming back. Amen? I'm going to be honest with you. It's been said for about 2,000 years, Jesus is coming back. If it's 800 more years, Jesus is coming back. Amen? I know this. Why do I know this? Because his word tells me so. Amen? If his word tells me that he's coming back, I know he's coming back. Amen? I know he's coming back because of the things that's gone on in this world. We can look around.
You can turn the news on in the mornings and you can see everything, prophecy is being fulfilled. Every just about every broadcast, you see prophecy being fulfilled, and therefore you know Jesus is coming back. Amen? Everything that's going on shows Jesus is coming back. I know that prophecy is real. I love digging into Bible prophecy. I love studying Bible prophecy. I love getting into that. And I've brought Bible prophecy in some of the sermons and some of the teachings that we've done. We did a whole, I think, what did we come out with? It was 2.5 years on the book of Revelation. I don't know how much more prophecy you can get than that. And there was a lot of those things used to say, it's going to be coming to pass. And when we was doing that study in Revelation, I said, that happened last week. So Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. I've never really focused a whole sermon other than the book of Revelation, never really focused like that. But a lot of pastors do, and that's great and that's wonderful. How many has been keeping up with the solar eclipse that's happening tomorrow, right? It's happening tomorrow. Anybody really digging into that? We've had a couple from the church. They're actually making a trip to, and those are wonderful events. Those are great things to be watching out for. And some have said that this is a sign of Jesus coming back. There's one thing true about it. It's a sign, all right. It's a sign of the times, amen? The Bible does teach us and show us that even the sun, the moon, and the stars are going to change the way they do things when Jesus is about to return. So I do give you that this is Bible prophecy being fulfilled. Does the fact that the meteors are going to be crossing America in certain ways and forming certain signs and it happens to be a Hebrew letter, is that relevant? Yeah, probably it is. It probably is. There's probably some Bible prophecy in that. But I want you to understand something. Just because these things are taking place does not dictate that Jesus is coming back at 7:41 in the morning because of certain things taking place. I want you to know that, right? Everybody agrees with me on that. The Bible tells us plainly. This is the part that I'm addressing that I want to make sure is clear, then we're going into the sermon. Because too many people at other churches are trying to read more into this. I need you to hear me when I say this. The Bible plainly tells us no man, woman, child, angel in heaven, nor Jesus himself knows when the rapture of the church is going to take place. Nobody knows. Just because meteors are crossing a certain city at a certain time does not dictate that Jesus is coming back at that time. Amen? Nobody knows but the Father. But there's one thing that you can get out of what these message or something that these eclipses are taking. Some of the meteors are passing over certain cities. And the cities, one of the cities that one of the meteors are passing over, the name of that city is Nineveh. What was going on in the times of Nineveh? Jonah was going to Nineveh and he was carrying a message, and the message was repent, repent, repent. So if you can get anything out of the meteor shower that's going to be taking place tomorrow, if you want to get anything as far as a sign from God, a message from God, you need to hear this clearly. Jesus is coming back. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the message. Amen? Amen? That's all you're getting. That's all you're getting from me. But I'm telling you straight up, there's no more. I don't want anybody to read any more into this other than the fact that this is a wonderful event. If I'm not mistaken, this is probably a very rare opportunity for three to be happening at the same time. This is a wonderful event. This is something spectacular to take place. If you get anything from God, you get this. Repent, repent, repent. Amen? Now, take a look. Let's go into our message today. The title of this is But Prayer. But Prayer. Things do not take place but prayer. The Bible tells us these things happen these things take place with prayer and with fasting. Amen? If nobody's going to talk to me, Hudson's going to talk to me, so y'all better say amen. The more you say amen, the more I knock time off of the message. We're sitting at 1 o'clock right now, so you better say amen to get us. I'm kidding. How many brought lunch? I'm kidding. Things take place, things happen when we pray. Amen? You want things to happen in your life? You want things to take place? You want opportunities to open up? You want doors to close? You want doors to open? Guess what? These things happen by prayer. Amen? Take a look at Acts chapter 12, verses 5 through 17. Acts chapter 12, verses 5 through 17. Normally I don't read that many verses at one time, but I want to read this because this is something that you need to grasp a hold of. Take a look at Acts chapter 12, verse 5 through 17. Look at what it says. So Peter was kept in prison. Now, you've got your, I know some of you reading on the screens, but those that's got your Bibles, I want you to notice something because we're going to bring this out in just a second. If you've got your Bibles open to Acts chapter 12, I want you to, verse is not on the screen, but I want you to look back up at verse 2. Verse 2 tells us James was killed. Okay? This is important. James died. Now come down to Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer was made to God by the church. Now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was asleep between two soldiers. He was bound by chains, and there was sentries before the door guarding the prison. Bible historians and Bible scholars tells us that there was four platoons of soldiers that was guarding Peter. Boy, they thought he was a dangerous character. They thought he was a very dangerous person. They had a lot of soldiers guarding Peter. Verse 7. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, next to Peter, and a light shone in the cell. And the angel struck Peter in the side to wake him up and said, "Get up quickly." And when Peter got up, the chains fell off of his hands. The angel said to him, "Dress yourself, put on your sandals." Peter did so, and he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Now, I don't know about you, but I'm freaking out at this point. If I'm Peter, I'm sitting there. I'm sitting between two soldiers. I am bound by chains, hands and feet to these soldiers. I know that my execution's tomorrow. My friend just died maybe a day before. And do you know why they stopped? Passover's going on. They're celebrating Passover right now. So they couldn't execute him today because Passover's going on. But I'm going to bet you something. They've got him scheduled for first thing in the morning. How many of you have ever had surgery first thing in the morning? You had to be at the hospital at what time? 5 a.m. What time was your surgery? You know, later on in the day. I ain't figured that out yet. Why in the world they got to have you 5 a.m.? You can't have nothing to eat, but you got to be there at 5 a.m. But they ain't going to do surgery at 2 o'clock that next afternoon. I don't know about you, but I get hungry that amount of time. I'm hungry. So think about how you are, those that's had surgery. Those that's had surgery, you know, you know that the next day you're going to have surgery. You're a little anxious, aren't you? You're a little nervous. Something's fixing to happen. You're going to have surgery tomorrow. Now think of that. Now think of how Peter is. Peter knows James just got killed. Just a couple of verses ago, James got killed. Peter knows my execution is tomorrow. But look at what the scripture says. The scripture says in verse 6, it says, Peter was asleep. How many of you can sleep when you're anxious or you're nervous about something? I can. My wife will tell you, I go fast asleep. Something's happening. I'm just gone. I'm out like a light. You that way too? But Peter, he just goes fast asleep. His friend got killed a couple of days ago. He is going to the executioner tomorrow. He is chained hands and foot to two soldiers, one on one side, one on the other side. They got guards at the door, inside the door. They got guards outside the door. They got guards in the hallway. They think he's a mean character, and he's fast asleep, Marty. He's asleep. There ain't nothing going on. And then all of a sudden, this angel comes in and pokes him in the side. He's goosing him. He's tickling him, counting his ribs. He pokes him in the side and says, "Hey, get up. Wake up. Get up. Get your clothes on." He's laying there in his pajamas. He says, "Get your clothes on." And as soon as Peter stands up, the chains fell off. He tells him, he says, "Get your clothes on. Put your shoes on, wrap your cloak around you, and follow me." Verse 9, Peter goes out and he follows the angel. He didn't know what was going on by this angel, but he knew the angel was real. He thought this was a real vision. He's thinking he's dreaming something, or he's got a vision going on and something spectacular. Peter... Have you ever had a vision or I'm not talking spiritual or anything. I mean, you may be in a spiritual dream. I'm just spiritual dream or spiritual vision. I'm just talking, you knew something good was going to take place. You're getting an award tomorrow. You're getting something great and wonderful is happening. And you're sitting back, you're in the recliner, you're trying to chill out, you want to go to sleep, you want to get rest because you got something good happening tomorrow, you got something good taking place, and you just in your mind, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, my imagination runs wild with me. I start visualizing what's going to happen. Does anybody else do that? Am I the only one? I'm the only one, all right. So I'll visualize what's taking place. And Peter thinks, right here in verse 9, he thinks, "I'm seeing a vision. I'm seeing an angel of the Lord come in and break me out of jail." That's what Peter's going on. Look at verse 10. Peter walks out in the hallway. Now remember, there's guards inside the door. There's guards outside the door. There's guards down the hallway. You need to visualize this. If I had a lot of time and a lot of things going, I'd have bought Roman guard uniforms, and I'd put it on about four or five guys and have them stand in different places. And what you need to visualize this. Peter walks out of the jail. He was bound by chains. He walks out. He walks the first set of guards. What are they doing? They're just standing there. They're guarding. He walks past them. He walks past the second set of guards. What are they doing? They're just standing there. He walks past the third set of guards. What are they doing? They ain't paying him no attention. Peter walks past, verse 10, he walks past the first set. He walks past the second set. They come to an iron gate leading into the city. And the iron gate opens itself. Does any of this freaking you out? If I'm Peter, I'm sitting here thinking, what in the world is going on? What is happening? What is taking place? It opened for them on its own accord, and they went out, and they went down one street, and then the angel left him. Peter shakes himself. Y'all ever done that? You. I don't know about you, but I do this often. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She'll tell you I do this. We're sitting there watching TV, and then the next thing she hears is, I seriously did this one time. Every guy in this room knows what I'm fixing to say is the truth. She came in the living room one time. I was watching TV. She goes over and picks up that remote and changes the... I was watching that. Does that happen at your house? It happens at our house, okay? I learned the perfected art of sleeping and watching the TV from my granddad. Walk in the room with granddaddy. He is snoring like a freight train. Them eyelids are closed. You change the channel. I was watching that. No, granddaddy, you was asleep. No, I wasn't. I was making sure my eyelids did not have holes in them. Y'all, I ain't joking. This is what he would do. So verse 11, Peter comes to himself. He shakes himself. He wakes up. He's like, wait a minute, what just happened? What just took place? He says, now I am sure that the Lord has sent an angel and has rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting. And when he realized this, he goes to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and they were playing Uno. No, they were playing checkers. They were praying. They had gathered together and they were praying. Verse 13. And when Peter knocks at the door, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. She recognized Peter's voice, and in her joy, she did not open the door, but she ran. Y'all visualize this, okay? Because this is, you got to realize what's going on. Okay, Peter's walked past all these guards and they ain't paying him no attention. Now he goes all the way to Mary's house. He knocks on the door. Rhoda comes to the door and says, "Who's there?" And Peter says, "It's me, Peter." She recognizes his voice. She don't open the door. She's so excited that it's Peter, she forgets to open the door. And she runs back. And she tells everybody, Peter's here. I don't know how it's happened, but Peter's at the door. Oh, I forgot to open the door. Oops. And they said to her, verse 15, why is this so important? They said to her, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. Now, I see this in two different ways. Number one, I see this that they said, you're out of their mind. Out of your mind, why didn't you open the door? If it's Peter, or number two, they're saying you're out of your mind. That's just, you're visualizing it. It's just a vision. But she kept saying, no, it is Peter. He's at the gate. He's at the door. Nobody, look, what I don't understand, nobody's going to check. Nobody's going to check. Nobody's going and seeing if it is Peter. And they kept saying, no, it's not Peter. It's just his angel. Because they're thinking he's supposed to be executed here momentarily. Look at verse 16. Peter. Peter kept knocking at the door. He's like, y'all, look, y'all need to let me in. It's dangerous for me to be out here right now. I just did a jailbreak. Angels just walked me past all the guards. I've just done a jailbreak. Y'all need to open this door and let me in the house. Peter kept knocking. When they opened the door, they saw him and they were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to quit making all this racket. You're going to wake everybody else in the town up. You're going to cause the Roman guards to come find me. Hush! Be quiet! He described to them, after they get in and they close the door, he describes to them how God brought him out of the prison. And he said, tell these things to James and to the brothers. Then he departed and went to another place. The focus of this morning is never underestimate the power of prayer. Never underestimate the power of prayer. Church, you can believe this. You don't have to believe this. I know it's true. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've witnessed it happen. I've heard testimonies of it taking place. I'm telling you, prayer changes situations. Amen? Prayer changes things. How many times, and this local church, just in the last 9 years that we've been here, is too many for us to count, but I know numerous number of times, time and time again, the doctor's report says, but God stepped on the scene. The doctor's report says, but God stepped on the scene. I can't tell you how many times that it's been blamed on a shadow of an x-ray. It's been blamed on there was a blip on the MRI machine. It's been blamed on the lab must have messed up. I'm going to tell you something right now. All of the blips of the MRI machines, all of the shadows and artifacts on x-rays and CAT scans, all of the lab mess-ups that's been taking place, that's when an instance of, but God has moved onto the scene. I'm going to tell you something time and time again. Things will change if prayer is involved. You want something to happen in your life? But prayer. Never underestimate the power of prayer. Don't allow yourself to be overwhelmed with the enormity of your problem. Church, every one of us, we could start right here, work our way around and come all the way over to this side. We could go from all the way from here all the way to the back. Every one of us has faced an enormity of a problem. We've faced a situation, whether it's physical, whether it's a doctor's report, whether it's financial, whether it's something legal. Things have happened. Things have taken place. But when we get a hold of God in a time of prayer, it seems like things do change. Things happen when prayer is involved. Time and time again, just in this body, time and time again, people will come to me and they'll say, I just got fired at my job. I've just let go. Things happened at my job. My hours has gotten cut. This has happened on my job. We need to pray that I get another job. We need to pray that something happens at work. We need to pray that this takes place. We need to pray that that takes place. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, whoop, glory to God, God's moved on the scene. Why? But prayer. How many times have we had instances time and time again, there would be something that the doctor's report has said. They've said the C word. They've said cancer. They've come in and they've said this. They've said this. They've said this. They've said major things. Major surgery's got to take place in the next day or two. Major incidents has got to happen. Things are going to take place. We get a hold of God in prayer, and all of a sudden, prayer changes things. Cancer all of a sudden seems to have disappeared. Masses seem to just vanish. Heart arrhythmia seems to straighten itself out. Let me tell you something. Prayer changes things. No matter the enormity of your problem, no matter what the situation you may face, you do not need to be overwhelmed with that problem, but you need to get a hold of the fact and learn about and lean on the knowledge of how big your God is. I don't care how big the mass is of cancer. I don't care how big a mass is that's in your body. I don't care how big the financial situation. I don't care about the problem that you're facing, how big it may be. I'm telling you right now, nothing is too big for God. God is bigger than the problem. God is bigger than the situation you're facing. No matter what's going on, that prayer changes things. Do not be overwhelmed with the problem. Look at how big God is. Nothing is too hard. Nothing is too impossible for God. There's several medical situations just connected with this church. We don't understand what's taken place. Don't understand what's happened. But God has moved. One, the Dillard, their grandson, not going into all the details. You know what's going on. You know what's happening. The young man should not be alive. This is not something that should be happening. He should not be here. And how old is he now? He's two years old. Is he 2 years old? The baby. He might not be two yet. But I'm going to tell you something. That is a miracle of God. Amen? There's others. Clay. We get the phone call 4 years ago. I was fixing to say ATV accident, but not really an ATV accident. Not an ATV. He just happened to be right there by the ATV. Medical situation that in all practical purposes, Clay should not be here. Then time goes on and they say, oh, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. They just keep saying it's a matter of time. You know what the matter of time is? The matter of time is when God says it's time. Amen? It's not what man says, but it is what God says time is. Let me just go ahead and throw this out here. We may not know why certain things take place. Things happen, and you're going to find out that God allowed certain things to take place for down the road for Him to get the glory and Him to get the honor. Amen? That's why things happen. That's why things take place. Then you got a young little man by the name of Noah that we've been praying for. Where were they at? They was in Yemen. Noah's daddy, family, they're missionaries in Yemen. He has an accident and breaks his... All broke up. It'd be easier to tell you what he didn't break, I think. All broke up. Take all the x-rays, take all the tests, take all the things. They got to get him out of there because there's not a hospital close by to be able to take care of him. A week goes by. They finally get him to be able to fly out. They get him to the new doctors. They take all the stuff with him. We've been praying for this young man. On the prayer wall, we've been praying for this young man. Get him there. Nothing is compared to what's going on when they get him there. It's nothing like what they said from the previous reports. He's got minor compared to what it was. But here's what I want you to hear. Here's what I want you to hear. The doctor that's treating him at the new place, the doctor that's treating him at the bigger hospital, guess what? He's a Muslim. The daddy gets to look at him. Daddy gets to look at him. Grandfather gets to look at the doctor and says, has Muhammad ever done for you what Jesus has done for us? Do you hear what I'm saying? Why did God allow this bad thing to happen to this young man named Noah? How old is Noah? 10 years old. Why would God allow something bad to happen? Let me tell you something. If it allows an opportunity for a witness to be able to happen down the road, then so be it. Why? Because souls are in the balance. Souls are in the balance. Souls are in the balance. Hello? We've got to understand, God is all-knowing. God's pattern for delivering believers through and from problems. There's a process that goes on here. First of all, there's a pattern. There's a four pattern. There's four things on this pattern that we see of God delivering. There's four things I want you to understand. Four things I want you to grasp a hold of this morning. First of all, there is a pattern of prayer. Church-wide prayer is what delivered Peter in our verses that we just read. Church-wide prayer is what delivered Peter. What happened? The whole church was praying. There might have been folks that didn't like Peter, but at this point in time, it doesn't matter. They're praying for Peter. Hello? The church is praying and getting on their knees before God praying. The church was doing all it could in praying for deliverance for Peter. The Bible tells us and teaches us that we're supposed to pray without ceasing. What this actually means is this means we need to fervently and earnestly continue in our times of prayer. The idea is this. We need intense prayer. Prayer that captivates. Prayer that focuses. Prayer that gets a hold of God. I'm going to tell you something. This now I lay me down to sleep prayer is not going to cut it. We need somebody that knows how to ring a prayer bell of heaven and get a hold of God. And look, and you can think about this. If I was to ask in this congregation, raise your hand if you got somebody that's lost. Hands all over the house would go up. If I was to ask how many in this church has got somebody you're connected with that's got a medical issue that God needs to move on, hands would go up. There is something for us to earnestly and focus our time of prayer. The idea is intense prayer needs to captivate and focus our concentration and our attention on God. Do you know when the doorbell will ring at the house? When I'm praying. I've said at home, this is no joke. We had just moved in. We'd been there several months. Sister Carrie, Miss Katie, they left the house. It was on a Saturday. They left the house. I'm there at the house all by myself. I sat on the couch for a little while and ate food for a little while. Got in trouble when Sister Carrie come home. I just bought groceries. Why ain't there anything here? I don't know. When I left the house, there was a whole gallon of milk. Why ain't there any? I don't know. Why is there an empty box of cereal that was full a while ago? I don't know. I don't get left alone much because I eat. But this particular Saturday, I sat there and I was watching a TV show and I was eating while I was there. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go on downstairs to the office and I'm going to work on tomorrow's sermon and pray a little bit and I'm going to work on tomorrow's sermon. I go downstairs. I've been at the house by myself probably about 2 hours by this point in time, and I go downstairs. All of a sudden, now the doorbell rings. Now the phone rings. The joke around the house is me and Sister Carrie, we believe 100%. That there is a sensor, because I'll come up here and I'll work on sermons and stuff now in the office. There is a sensor that this moment I walk in this building, that all of a sudden everybody on planet Earth knows that I'm fixing to pray or work on a sermon. It's a joke around our house. Because I can be at the house, we can be watching TV, we can just be goofing off, nothing going on. Phone never rings. Moment I walk in this church, 4 phone calls. Now, I'm not complaining on anybody calling me. I don't think that. I want people to call me. I want people to let me know you need some prayer. I'm all on that. But the fact is, every distraction on earth is going to happen when you spend time in prayer. That's the point that I'm making. That's the point that I'm coming to. That's the point that I want you to understand. And I need you to get this. And if anybody says this, me saying this is very, very real. My phone, when I turn it upside down like that, y'all see that? It's turned upside down. That's the face of the phone. It's turned. It's on do not disturb. It won't ring anymore. So if you call me and I don't answer, my phone may be turned upside down like that, laying on the desk. You know why? Because I'm praying. It's okay to leave a voicemail. You know why? I'll get it in a minute. Every distraction on earth is going to happen when you start praying. Every distraction on earth is going to happen. Why? Because the devil knows that power comes from prayer. The devil don't want you to pray. Hello? There's a second thing that we find here in these verses. We find confidence. Confidence in God's will and God carrying out deliverance for Peter. Peter was asleep. It was the night before his execution, and Peter is asleep. Christ was meeting the need of Peter. Christ was giving Peter grace and peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, this verse right here, everybody mistakenly quotes this. Everybody quotes this verse wrong. I have touched on this verse the last couple of weeks. Everybody quotes this verse wrong. I want you to hear what the verse says. Don't misquote this verse. Don't misquote it to me, at least. The Bible says this. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. You're not facing something that somebody else ain't faced. The trials you go through, the troubles you face, the obstacles you go through, guess what? Somebody else has faced the same thing. The addictions that you're under that has you bound down, guess what? Somebody else has faced that too. The financial hardship that you're facing, guess what? Somebody else has gone through that too. You are not alone. That's what this is telling you. You are not alone. And if God does something for one, God will take care of you as well. Look at the next verse, or next line of this verse. It says this, God is faithful. How many believes God's faithful? How many believes God's faithful? I know that God is faithful to me. God is faithful to me. Many times I've failed Him, but God has never failed me. He'll never forsaken me. He's right there with me. I just got to trust and depend on Him. God is faithful. And He will not let you. He will not let you. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, He will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. The things you're facing, the things you're going through, you are not going through it alone. You are not facing the trials and troubles of life alone. You are not in this by yourself. There are others that have gone through this. There are Christians that wants to help pray with you. There are Christians that wants to hold you up. There are people around you that would rally around and hold you up and pray for you. But you just have to know that God is faithful in your situation. God is faithful. God is going to be there with you. You just got to let Him. You've got to let Him. God is faithful, and God will provide a way of escape. God will provide a way of escape. You've just got to know that God is there. God is faithful to you. You've got to trust and follow the direction God's telling you to go. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. You're facing trial. You're facing obstacles. You're facing turmoil. You're facing persecution. The God I serve knows how to rescue you from that. You just got to allow Him to do that. Amen? God knows how to rescue the godly from trials, and God knows how to keep the unrighteous under punishment. Let me tell you something. I have wondered this and wondered this and wondered this. How does the God we serve allow such evil to take place in this world? It's a thing called self-will. Everybody has a choice. Everybody has a choice which direction they're going to go, which direction they're going to follow. You're going to follow after God, you're going to follow after man. That's your choice. I've often wondered about that. How so much evil has gone on in this world. Then you think back to the times of Sodom and Gomorrah. God had had enough. Some of you parents, you've probably said this. You've said, I've had it up to here. I mean, y'all giggled. I knew y'all done that. My daughter has told me, Daddy, you're getting on my last nerve, and I was saving it. I know y'all can't believe that I would get on her nerves anyway. live feed. Somebody said, that is hard to believe. But I've often wondered that. Then here's one that I wonder even more. I've wondered how that men and women of God that have blazed a trail, that have pastored churches, that have evangelized, and they'll fall back into a life of sin and act like everything's all right. Nothing's happened. Nothing's gone on. And they just jump right back into a life of sin. And it's just like, what's happening here? I've often wondered that. But then you read a verse like this. It says, God knows how to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. Too many people think that they're going to get away with everything, but there's coming a day of judgment. And I don't know about you, but on that day of judgment, I want God to be able to look at me and say, this is your record. And then Jesus says, put it to my account. And it's all washed away. I don't know about you, but that's what I'm wanting. I know that I've sinned. I know that I have fallen. I know that I have failed God. I know my life ain't never been perfect. You know how I know that? Everybody that's in here that's perfect, stand up. Not one. The fact is, every one of us has had things in our lives. But I know that I've been forgiven of my sin. And therefore, God is going to rescue me from trials. God's going to rescue me from troubles. God's going to rescue me from the temptations. God's going to rescue me from persecution. Why? Because I'm His child. I've been forgiven. Let's go on. Psalms chapter 118, verse 8. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in mankind. I'm going to tell you, man will fail you. God will never fail you. You need to trust in God. You need to depend on God. Your mindset can fail you. You can do everything you can to make the right decision, and it can be wrong. But we got to trust in God. We got to follow after God. The third thing that we find is a pattern of God's miraculous works and the believer's obedience. Did you know that God is not a genie in the bottle? The angel did not do for Peter what Peter could do for himself. If you go back to the verses, you find that the angel of the Lord, he poked Peter to wake him up. Then the angel told Peter, get up and get your clothes on. Get your shoes. The angel didn't put his clothes on him. Angel didn't put his shoes on him. He told him, he said, get up, put your clothes on, put your shoes on. Could Peter make the chains fall off? No. Who made the chains fall off? The angel. God. But now, think about this for just a moment. Could the angel, just use my imagination for 1 second. Could the angel have done this? And Peter would have been in a seating position, then he's standing up with his clothes on, his shoes on. Sure he could have. Brother Andy, how could he have done that? The God I serve used his pinky to make the Grand Canyon, so I think he could have somebody stand up and have her clothes and shoes on them. Nothing is beyond God, the ability of God. But the angel said, Peter, get up, get your clothes on, put your shoes on. Peter had to do it for himself. Why is that important? Obedience is important. The angel did not do for Peter what Peter could do to himself. Peter had to act. Church, there's many folks. There's folks sitting in this congregation you have not received from God because you've not acted. Let me take my glasses off. I don't want anybody to think I'm looking at them. God is wanting people to take the step of faith and receive a healing, to receive a financial breakthrough. But you've got to take the step of faith. You've got to act first. You've got to follow the directions of God. Once Peter was safely out of danger, he was left on his own. He was left to continue by faith. What did he do? He returned to the believers. He returned to the church. He started seeking God about what his next steps was going to be. The point is this. God's miraculous deliverance involved not only what Peter could do, not do for himself. Peter was not helpless. The angel of the Lord did what Peter couldn't do, but Peter had to act. I firmly believe this. Peter is sitting there, leaned against that wall. He's bound by his chains, hands and foot. He's asleep. I'm thinking, you know, there's a soldier sitting right here. He probably leaned his head on his shoulder. The angel of the Lord came in there and goosed him, tickled his ribs. And he said, get up and get your shoes on. I don't want to. I might wake these guards and they'll get me. He could have done that. Angel, can't you just put them on for me? Can't you do it? Can't you put my shoes on for me? You know what I think that angel would have done? He said, bye. Walked out the door and left him there. Church, it's the same thing that's happening to many Christians all over earth. They have whined and cried over the situation they're in. They have told God, oh, I need you. And God starts the process of helping them out of their bondage, out of their chains, and they sit back and, oh, can't you do it for me? And God's saying, get up and get your shoes on. Last Sunday, there was a young lady in this church that's sitting on this side of the church. She walked in with a cane. She walked out toting that cane. This Sunday, she ain't here with a cane. You know why? God has helped her. Hello? The fourth thing that we find here, quickly. The fourth thing is a pattern of God's sovereign will. God has a sovereign will for your life. God's sovereign will for Peter was for Peter to be delivered. Peter had to realize that God was delivering him by his sovereign will, that God still had a purpose for Peter, and God still had a ministry for Peter to perform. Notice, God expects his people to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. God expects you to work out your deliverance. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Now therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation. That word is translated as deliverance with fear and with trembling. The result of God delivering his servant, the scripture and the outline points to this. Every miracle performed by God causes the same results. But what we must do is we must not assume that God's going to do something and just stop praying. If you're a parent and you've got a child that's lost, you don't pray one time and say, well, God's got it now and I don't have to worry about it no more, and you don't ever pray for them again. Ask every parent in here how many times they pray for that child that's lost. Some of them probably tell you 3, 4, 5 times a day. Why? Because they want that child or that grandchild saved. Hello? Hello? You got a health issue going on. You don't pray one time and say, okay, it's in the hands of God. I'm not going to deal with it no more. Now listen, we've said this many, many times. You bring the need and you lay it down on an altar and you leave it there. That does not mean you don't pray about it no more. That means you've turned it over to God, but you continue to pray. Why? Because you need to show God that you mean business about that prayer being answered. You're sincere about that child or grandchild being being saved. You're sincere about receiving your healing. You're sincere about being set free from addiction. You're sincere about God doing a work. I don't know about you, but I'm sincere this morning. I want God to work. I'm not just going to pray one time and be done with. I'm praying continuously. I want God to move. Amen? Would you stand all over the house? Live feed, thank you so much for joining with us. Join us back Wednesday, 6:30. We have a time of Bible study, kids' class, teens' class. We'd love to have you to be with us. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. Amen.